Every day, 130 Americans die from opioid overdose.
Some of us are in invisible prisons today, even as we try to appear free.
Sales of alcoholic beverages are up 55% compared to a year ago.
I believe God's going to set you free.
Welcome, friends. Hope you are doing fantastic. And I hope this finds you in a place where you're intentionally keeping your hope up. As you have probably learned somewhat by now in life, we got to be intentional about monitoring where our hope's at. We got to be intentional about where we're at on a daily basis with life trying to come at us and bog us down. So hope you guys are doing great wherever this finds you. Hope you guys have also been getting some good value out of the guests we've been having on. I love the conversations and the stories. And so I hope that they're hitting the spot for you, really, really encouraging you. And I want to share something brief, more reminder. You've heard me quote before C.S. Lewis. He said, we need to be reminded more than we need to be instructed. Obviously, we need plenty of instruction and we need to learn new things. But oftentimes, revisiting fundamentals, foundational stuff, it keeps our foundation strong. And we need the proper foundation anyways to build upon. And so I want to go over just a little bit of just hope and just treating and seeing people according to the potential that's in them, according to the godly potential that is in them, according to their gifts, their talents, and who it is we see they can become. Essentially it's what I do all day, every day with my clients. And, there's like at least three of my clients right now that I'm thinking of that I remind all the time. I remind they'll verbalize what they're going through or why they're struggling or this, that. And we want to acknowledge the issue. We don't want to pretend a problem doesn't exist. That's pretty foolish. Like you've heard me say, try that with a bill collector. Just try and pretend that problem doesn't exist. And we'll see how it doesn't just affect us negatively. It accrues interest in its negative effect. So we don't want to pretend it's not there, but we want to acknowledge it and immediately move into solution. What's the shift in perspective and what's the action steps that are needed? We want to shift straight into solution. So I'm reminding them, they'll bring up the problem at hand and elaborate on it, be like, all right, so that's something that's going on, but that's not who you are. This is who you are. Reminding them of the potential that's in them. It needs to be done all the time. We need to surround ourselves with people that do it, and we need to be doing it to people all the time. For me, in early recovery, I like to call it different things, transformation, early on in my walk with God, God put me around people that saw me and treated me according to the potential they saw in me. I am forever grateful for it, forever grateful. I would be working jobs that I didn't like. And people would say, that's okay, man. That's not what you're called to do. You're called to something much bigger. I see you doing like business and I see you speaking. And people were speaking these things into my life that realized it or didn't even realize that they were seeing what God was showing them. And this was from the very, very beginning. And it would always challenge my perspective. I'm like, really? You see that in me? I don't always, maybe I catch glimpses of it, but I don't see that in me. And I think sometimes we default to this place of like, we need people in our life that point out our blind spots. And so we have this emphasis on people in our life pointing out what's wrong. And let's put that in its proper perspective. We need that. We need people in our life who are like, hey, this is going on and maybe you don't see it. Let's take a look at it and get into the solution. But if we only have people in our life that are looking for what's wrong to tell us, like by default or subconsciously, oftentimes our perspective goes to that place of, okay, well, what's wrong? What's my blind spot? What's going on? Yeah. Okay. Again, we need that. All right. But just as much, if not more so, we need people in our life who are pointing out who we really are. We need people. We need to be doing it to other people around us. And we need people around. We need people speaking into our life as well that are saying, okay, I see the problem going on. That's true. But truth always trumps what's true. Your godly potential and identity and destiny trumps what might be true for you in the moment, in the struggle that you're going through, in the hard time that you're having, grabbing a hold of that bigger vision and seeing who you really are. We need people in our life that are saying, yeah, I understand the job you're working right now, and it's a struggle and it's not providing and so on and so forth, but this is just a stepping stone. That's not your destiny. We need people in our life who are calling out those talents and those gifts, calling out that character that's in there. It's in there. It might just be laying dormant or might not have been activated yet, but our words have power on them. We need to remember that. Proverbs tells us that the power of death and life is in the tongue, and those that love it will eat its fruit. What it's saying is you're going to taste of what you speak about. And our words have power in them. Our words have power in them. And like you've heard me guys, you know, for my longtime listeners, you've heard me talk about this. You know, our body, I'll break this down real quick, but our body is made up of roughly 70-80% water. The world around us, the tree, just Google it yourself and type in really quick, okay? What percentage of the earth is water? Do a little bit of research on your own. Type in what percentage of our body is water, okay? So keep that in mind. And our body is 70-80% water. Keep that in mind. There was a doctor named Dr. Emoto in Japan. And forgive me, I do think he's passed away. But he was fascinated with the power of our words. And what he did was he did some research about it. And he put water underneath a microscope, took water from a jar, put it under a microscope, spoke over it, spoke over a few drops of water, very negative stuff. I hate you. You're ugly. You're disgusting. And he took pictures before and after the regular water, what it looked like after. He just spoke to the water like it was a person. And it was normal looking water, you know, just a normal image, whatever. And then he spoke to it and it literally turned into what looked like swamp water after he spoke the death over it, essentially, right? Did the same thing, took the water from the same cup, put it down, took a picture of it from the same cup, and then spoke life over it. You're beautiful. You're amazing. You can do this. I love you. And the water underneath a microscope literally transformed into what looks like snowflakes. If you've ever seen an image of a snowflake under a microscope, our words have literal power on them. It's scientifically proven. It's biblical. It's a fact. And just think of how much, like I just said, of the world is made up of water. So it boils down to just, something that works and is scientifically and biblically and spiritually, it's facts. When we speak to the gifts and the talents and the potential that we see in other people, our words have death or life on the word. The power of death and life is in the tongue. And when we speak that, it is doing something to the potential that rests in them that may still be in seed form, but it's in there. It's in there. And when we're speaking life, our words become like Miracle-Gro on that seed. When we're speaking death, it's like we're polluting it and it becomes even more difficult for them to step into it. And I can look back and see how God put so many people in my life that spoke to the potential in me. Early on, in this process of my life being transformed, they would just say, I see the job you're working. I see what you're doing, but that's not who you are. That's not who you are. You're going to be doing this, this, and this. That's not who you are. God's got something bigger for you. I was, again, just so grateful. There was always people around me who were calling that out and challenging me in a very good way to like, nah, man, you're called to way more. You're called to way more. You know, and the ultimate example, let's think about this, okay? In the Bible, Jesus, I go over this, elaborate on my book, which is I'm going through an editing process right now. It'll be a bit longer before it comes out, but I go over this. And, you know, if Jesus, if we were to think right now, like God hasn't come yet, right? Like Jesus hasn't come in the flesh yet, right? But we've read the prophecies, we're out, we know he's coming, and then he comes. And I think most people would default to this place of he would come and he would pick the most influential person. He would come and he would pick the most polished person. He would come and he would pick the people that speak the best, that do this. I mean, after all, we're talking about people who are carrying the name, the brand, if you will. It's maybe not the best way to describe it, but you get what I'm saying. They're going to be carrying the name of Jesus, right? Let's pick the best people here. He didn't do that. He definitely did not do that. No, he called people according to the potential that was in them. He called people who he said, I'm going to take that person. And I'm going to show you what God can do in someone's life once they submit themselves to a degree and begin to walk with God. What I can do with someone's life. Because he called drunks, tax collectors. He called like very rough around the edges fishermen. Very rough around the edges. So much so that one of them, when they came to snatch him in the Garden of Gethsemane, Peter, he literally pulled out a sword and chopped one of their ears off. Those were the people he called. And don't try and tell me that Peter was a good enough swordsman to cut someone's ear off. Peter was swinging to cut their head off. Okay. Peter was swinging to hit him in the head with a sword and he missed and cut the ear off. And Jesus still healed the person right on the spot. Okay. So somebody who's literally trying to swing a sword and smack you in the skull with it. Jesus called those people. And guess what? He treated them according to the God-given potential. He treated them according to their calling. He treated them according to their strengths, their gifts, their talents, if you will. That's how he treated them. And it was his words, action, presence, power, and love that ushered them into their true identity. That little procedure, if you will, there, those spiritual dynamics, that principle there, has not changed at all. I can say the reason I'm standing here is because God always treated me that way through the people around me that he put in my life, through encounters I've had with God. He's always treated. If there's anybody that could have come to me, okay, in that moment and pointed out everything that was wrong with me and I would have had nowhere to go but say, you're absolutely right. I'm sunk. I'm done for. It would have been God. Come to be like, I know everything you did. I know who you are. I know what you've been doing. That's the only person that could have come and really, really stood there. Obviously, having never done anything wrong, Jesus could have come to me in whichever way he would have revealed that. It's not who he is. He comes and forgives. He comes and says, I know what you're struggling with. It's true, okay? But truth always trumps what's true. Let me walk you into your true identity. I understand the problem. It's overwhelming you. It's real. It's true. Let's not pretend it's not there. It is. But let me show you the strength that I put in you and who you can become with me. Let's walk this out. Let me show you who you really are, right? So who are we surrounding ourselves with? Who are we surrounding ourselves with? Are we intentionally... I understand there's relationships, family, people we're close with at work or school. I understand we can't run from every relationship. I get that. But who are we intentionally surrounding ourselves with in the times where we can decide who we're around, right? And what are we doing if we leave an environment where we're in, and maybe we're in it to change the environment, not for the environment to change us? It's a whole nother topic for another day, but maybe we're in some of those environments and things are being spoken to us that are not helping us walk out our destiny. Are we taking the time to be very intentional after leaving those environments to remind ourselves, I know what that person said. Just bless them, God. All right. Just bless them, God. But that's not who I am. Are we leaving those environments and not getting bitter and saying, I know what they said, but they're wrong. That's not who I am, you know? And then the times where we can, like I said, pick who we're around, are we putting ourselves around people who are calling out the gifts and the talents and the potential and treating you according to that? And how are we doing that with other people? Are we treating people? Because when we treat people according to it, like I said, when we treat people according to the gifts, talents, godly potential that rests within them, God uses our words and actions to walk them into it, to walk them into that upgrade in their identity. This thing takes intentionality. We got to remind ourselves. Be in the Word. See how Jesus was treating people. We got to remind ourselves. We got to remind ourselves that it's very easy to plateau in life. It's the norm in a lot of ways in society. God hasn't called us to do that, though. This is ever increasing. This is glory to glory, as the Word says. And we're walking out a continual growth and upgrade and walking into more of our godly identity, into more of our destiny and our calling. And it's of the utmost importance. I would go as far to say that we really won't capitalize and walk out the fullness who God has called us to be and what he's called us to do if we're not surrounding ourselves with people that are calling out the godly potential, gifts, and talents they see in us and encouraging, challenging us in the right ways to step into it. Being in that kind of culture and family, if you will, community, it's vital. I would go as far to say that we're really not going to walk out the fullness of who we are if we're not in that sort of community. And if you're having trouble finding that community, begin to pray that God puts you in it, because it's there. It's there. He will put you in that community. And you know, I think it would be, it's always really good for us to pray too. How can I bring this more into the community and the friends, the environments that I'm in? Give me your eyes, God. Show me how you see people. Show me who you've called them to be. Show me the gifts and talents you put at them. Give me your grace and empower me to treat them accordingly, so that we would be a people that raise people up into something better. We would be a people that surround ourselves with people who are helping raise us up into the fullness of our identity, destiny, and calling. So I want to just wrap it up with that, and just encourage you guys. You know, this, like I said, this takes intentionality. This isn't something we hear a message one time, we're like, oh, that was so encouraging, that's good, and then we just go back about our day. It takes daily intentionality to walk like this. We got to remind ourselves. We got to remind ourselves who we are. We got to remind the people around us who they are. And we live this way, and we will see it happen. You will walk out your potential, your calling, your destiny. You surround yourselves with people who are helping lift you up to get you there. And the people around you, the same. They will walk out their God-given potential, destiny, calling, gifts, talents, if you are constantly pointing them out and encouraging them to walk into them. Thanks for joining us, guys, on the Recovering Reality Podcast. If you or a loved one is struggling in addiction or in your recovery, please reach out, guys. Get the support and the help that you need. You can reach us at info@recoveringreality.com. Let's get you the help that you need so you can get your life back. And guys, you can jump over to the website, tons of free content to help you walk out your recovery in a healthier, happier way. We are also training and equipping, certifying recovery coaches and launching them into the marketplace to help more people recover from this disease of addiction. Thanks for joining, guys. Catch you on the next podcast.